guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigate. My name's Ben and I'm joined with Ryan. We're pastors at a church in Brisbane called Southside, and we're continuing in our journey in Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be looking at verse 14 through to 21. We'll start at verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, "It is mine to avenge, I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So, I'm joined with Ryan, and Ryan, we're having a chat over this passage. And, you know, we've talked a lot in Romans 12 already about what it means to live a life as a living sacrifice in response to all that God has done. And here we get into some more, you know, stuff about what it means to live our life in response to Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. We're seeing that God's calling us to a life that's loving, and we've kind of hinted at it already, but got to really focus on it in this passage because Paul does this. It's that when we're choosing to live a loving life, we're actually choosing and willing to step in a life that will bring suffering.
Yeah.
Because love, in terms of what the Bible talks about and how it was revealed in Jesus, is a self-sacrificial love. It's going to cost us something to love. And so we're stepping into the territory of feeling the weight of the cost of love and living a loving life, and just how we respond to those who hurt us. And it's really interesting there how he talks about not to bless those who persecute us, who hurt us, who cause us pain, who hurt our heart in a sense,
yeah,
or even physically hurt us. Bless, don't curse. It's really interesting then he goes on to say how then we respond to people who are hurt, and almost their pain causes us pain. It says to mourn with those who are mourning, and in a sense, interesting how when someone's pain is just so in your face, you don't know how to deal with that sometimes, and it's easy to distance ourselves from them or to try and even become their savior and fix it. And he's saying, no, just be with them, just to mourn with them, hurt with them. Kind of then moves on to a really interesting one in terms of how we respond. I'm going to put it this way, people's status.
Yeah.
And just, yeah, how, whether we consider them beneath us or above us, but particularly with those who threaten our sense of status,
yeah,
in our relationships, and just how he calls us to see that love isn't proud, but willing to humble ourselves, to be lowly, like we're reminded Jesus is. It's really cool dynamics and just how we love when it hurts.
Yeah, and it's almost like, I wonder if we can frame these verses in kind of the relational dynamics of the church. You know, because everything that you've said so far, it's like, it's just the reality of a messy, you know, it's not limited to church, but everything you're saying so far, it's like, man, you just see this in a local gathering of God's people, because we're united by Jesus and all that he's done for us at the cross and his death and resurrection, but we're still sinful. We're still messy, and there's going to be pain. There's going to be hurt. And, you know, everything that you've sort of touched on there, it's like live in harmony with with one another. Don't be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. It's like, where do you have the choice? Where do you have the chance to participate in that? Well, it's at church. You know, don't just, I don't know, don't just hang out with those, you know, who are pastors or whatever. But actually anyone who walks in the door, like if we grasp who we are, that we're members of one body, that this is the body, then we got a role to play here with each other as well.
Yeah, and he goes on to say how he makes sense of our role to play.
Yeah.
And he says, as far as it depends on you, so he's saying just take personal responsibility for our part in the relationship. So we could put it this way, We are 100% responsible for our 1% or whatever.
Yeah, percentage is.
So we are 100% responsible for how we relate to people.
Yeah.
And it's so it's help Paul's helpfully saying change happens as we don't focus on other people but on ourselves.
Mm. Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, how many times do we get into, you know, if you think about, like, if you're listening to this right now, you think about conflict that you've had, you know, with other people. Our temptation is to go, it was their fault.
Yeah.
You know, it was my wife's, my husband's fault. It was the person at church that I don't get along with. It's their fault. Mm. It was my friend, whatever, colleague. It's their fault. But this is saying as much as it depends on you, make peace with everyone. And I think what you said there's so helpful. You know, when we think about where did conflict start and we go, well, it was 90% of them, 99% of them. And yeah, my 1%, but that's only 1%. But so helpful there what you said, like take 100% responsibility for whatever part you played in it, whether it's 1%, you know, 10% or 90%.
Yeah.
Own it, you know, apologize for it so that you can create peace with other people.
Yeah. And and this is where it gets really uncomfortable and really hard for us, because what Paul then goes on to say is, and that is in a way determined by other people's perception is the reality that we need to work with. So how do we understand what it is that we need to take responsibility for? It's the impact that we have on them. Mm-hmm. It says, do what is right in the eyes of everyone. So it's the other person's perception of reality that we need to work with, not our own in that sense. It's in the sense that we take personal responsibility for the perceived impact that we're having or the actual impact that's happening.
Yeah.
With the other person. So
yeah, so sometimes we might say in that, you know, I didn't intend to hurt you.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, well, in the eyes of someone else, you might not have intended to hurt them, but you might have said it in a way that was hurtful, or you might not have thought about the whole situation that they're going through, you know, or it might have been insensitive just to, you know, what they've done in the past.
Yeah, like it's funny, a funny one. Although my wife might think it's not that funny, but like around the house, just, you know, walking around, and sometimes I bump into Sarah and it's just, it's completely unintentional. Yes. Like, I'm not the smallest bloke. So, like, you know, passing each other and working in the kitchen or whatever, excuse me. And it's like, you're going to apologize? I'm like, man, I didn't do anything wrong. Why don't you apologize? And it's just the, for her, it's the perception is I am not mindful of her presence. Yeah. And it's like, oh, actually, yeah, that's a hard, like, feeling as though the one person in your life is meant to be so conscious of you is so not. That's not very nice.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, that's the impact. Something for me that is just so literally mindless and accidental can just have, something. It's quite significant.
Now, how much more, you know, like I often think about this, right? Like we often have relational problems in the closest relationships in our life.
Mm.
And even there, you know, in your situation, sometimes it can be hard to apologize to your wife, who you're married to, who you love, you know, the mother of your children, like all of that stuff. So how much more difficult is this then in the context of a church?
Yeah.
You know, because these are relationships where we've been bound together, not by necessarily our decision, but by Christ.
Yeah.
And how much more, you know, do we unintentionally bump into people around us?
Yeah.
And, you know, so often we're not willing to actually go, okay, you know what? I didn't mean to bump into you. You know, and I'm not talking physically bumping into people at church, but, you know, maybe it's we overstep in our serving. Maybe it's we're underappreciated, you know, underappreciative with our words. Maybe, you know, there's something that we've done in a church setting. Yeah. And what Paul's saying here is so helpful. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Now, just to move quickly, because I think unless you got something else that you want to just, you're going to die if you don't say it right here.
I've got one more thing. That's it.
Yep. Go.
How we make sense of that when we are hurt and we are wronged, whether it's intended or not, it doesn't matter. The impact has hurt us. Paul says that we do not overcome hurt with hurt.
Yeah.
We do not overcome hate with hate. We don't fight with the sword against the sword. Actually, we fight with love, with peace, with kindness, with gentleness. We are actually like Jesus. Love by laying our life down, and that might look a lot of different ways. Like we said, we endlessly could go into it, but whether we're the one when we're hurt, we need to remember this principle.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, earlier on in chapter 12, we saw if your gift is showing mercy, then man, show mercy.
Mm.
And I think that's one of those places. Like if you're wronged and you have the ability to show mercy, do that. And if you don't, seek Jesus' help to do that.
Yeah, and the final thing is that leave the judgment, the consequence to God. Yeah. Leave room for God's justice.
Now, I just felt, in some ways, you know, you can read these passages, and when we're talking about spiritual abuse, mental abuse, physical abuse, sometimes these passages can be used against you to go, well, you just need to put up with that.
Mm.
As far as it's, you know, when it's on you, just live at peace with the abuser and that's all sweet. But this is not what this passage is saying.
No.
And, you know, you could argue that in this moment, it's not possible to live at peace with that person. And sometimes it means leaving. And in that, I think there is a great comfort to know that God is the God of judgment and he'll hold all people accountable for that. And so I think that allows us to sometimes leave and to leave the anger and the bitterness of that in God's hand, knowing that he's in control and going to deal with that.
Yeah, and he will, when that's the promise.
As we reflect on this passage today, I think we are to read it in the context of our relationships with those people around us, particularly in the local church setting. And verse 16 is such an amazing verse there. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Then again, verse 18, it's such an encouragement. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You know, maybe as you're listening to this and you think about, particularly in the local church, in your church, there's people maybe that you do not have harmony with. You know, maybe there's people that come to mind that you do not have peace with. And the encouragement from this passage is to go and seek that out. You know, take responsibility for your mistakes and the problems that you've brought to that, the sin that you've brought to that. Take responsibility for that. Maybe for some of us we need to apologize, or maybe for some of us we need to forgive. But it is an important thing to seek this out. We also want to say, outside of the local church setting, that if you're listening to this and you are someone who is in an abusive relationship and you want any help with actually how to process that or deal with that, please reach out with us here at Navigate. You can do that through the Facebook page on Southside Presbyterian Church's Facebook page, or through our Instagram account. We'd love to help you out if we can in any way with this stuff. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next time.